We'll turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Tonight we're continuing our series, Surviving the Storms of Life. In this study, Pastor Ricky and I, we have shared 20 lessons already which deal with the issues of life. These are all relevant issues on how to survive the storms of life. Tonight I want to talk about how to survive the storm of fear. And I'm sure that as I go through this, you're going to find yourself somewhere in this sermon, because fear tries to come and paralyze our faith. And there are some people that have some fears they need to get over. Amen. I said amen. Now, this subject is a big one, because fear affects not only how you live, and it affects how everyone that is associated with you lives. And it's very sad because some people have not learned how to live and how to handle life's problems. So this is a very powerful lesson tonight. The storms of life come. Jesus said they come, and they're going to come to us all. If you're going to survive the storms of life, you have to base your life on what the Word of God has to say about your situation. So let's look at what Jesus said, Matthew 7:24. Jesus said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, say doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And then Jesus says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The same progression, the wind, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, it beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. So it's very important that you build your life on the bedrock of God's word. If God says it, God means it. If God says don't do it, then don't do it. Don't hurt yourself, help yourself. Do what God says. I want to talk to you about surviving the storm of fear tonight. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for your presence here tonight. How powerful your presence is. Lord, give us that listening ear. Reveal to us, Lord, the treasures that belong to us in the Word of God. Let me teach these, Lord, the oracles of God, the Word of God with power, with anointing, that it pierces soul and spirit, that people are delivered from this terrible thing called fear while I'm speaking your word. Everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. Now, fear has been called man's deadliest enemy. Fear can affect your relationship with God. Fear can affect your relationship with others. Fear can affect your relationship in your family. Fear can cause a business to fail. Fear has so many terrible things associated with it that it can do to a person some terrible things. Yet all of fear is unreal. And that's what you've got to know. It is unreal. All fear is unreal if you will turn to God with the problems of life. How can I say that? Well, it's because of what the Word of God says. Look at me now. We're all children of God in here. 1 John 4:18. Look at that. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out all fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And that's what God has to say about it. Overcoming fear is something we all face, especially when we endeavor to do something new. I cannot tell you how many times when I get ready to do something new and something that's out of the box, but something God has put in my heart to do, how the devil comes and he tries to tell me, you cannot do that. But I just listen to what the Word of God says. Fear is unreal. All fear is unreal. And it's only in you because your belief in them. That's all fear is. And that's what makes it the poison that it is. When you refuse to accept fear and you will not accept them, fear simply has no power. Yet human fear has been called the deadliest enemy of mankind. Look at this. Unreasonable fear. Fear that has no reason behind it. All fear has no reason behind it. Tormenting fear. You can't sleep at night. You cannot rest in the daytime. You cannot do the work that you need to do because of fear. persistent fear. Fear that will not leave you alone. Night and day it is there. It's on your trail. It hounds you every night, every day. That fear, it persists. My brother wrote this. There was a time in his life that he was afraid to go out. And he wrote this little poem. He said, if you should pass this house away, in case you should, within there lives one soul astray with heart of good. He would not ask a lot of you, perhaps, to talk, or how you do the things you do, like take a walk. See, fear is a tormenting spirit from the devil. And if you are driven all alone at any point in your time, unless you're going alone by your choice to talk to God and get revelation and commune with the Father, there is a devil that is driving you into isolation. He does not want you to be around people. He does not want you to be in the mainstream of life because you have God's power in you. And even the sinner, he'll drive them into a place where he can torment them. So tormenting fear, it just affects everything you do. And then it persists. Such fear can totally destroy your peace. It can totally destroy your happiness. It can destroy your ability to achieve great things in the world that we live in today. Now listen very carefully, because you need to hear this. Most fears have to be learned. And they are the result of wrong teaching. Let me say that again. Most fears have to be learned, and they are a result of wrong teaching. You may see yourself in some of this. Many parents have said things like this. Don't go in there. The booger bear will get you. You should never do that and tear a little child's nerves all to pieces. That's not true. We should never do that, trying to scare a child into disobedience. Take the board of education like the Bible says. Put it to the seat of understanding. Bring them up in the way of the word, praise God. They'll get the message. I promise you that. I've had three of them. They all got the message. Fear is a tormentor, and fear has to be planted in the human heart. The only fear that I understand a newborn baby has is release. If you're holding a baby and you drop it, it brings fear into that child. That baby's not afraid of people. It's not afraid to go places. Not as long as it's with mother and daddy. It has to be taught, fear does, because a baby doesn't realize that he has enemies in this world. He doesn't realize that he's surrounded by potential danger. And so most fear have to be learned, and they are the result of wrong teaching. Many of us, people, their parents tell them things that, don't you try to do that. You can't do that. And they're instilling fear. I tell my children, I said, you can achieve anything. I said, you can do great things. I tell that to my grandchildren. And they're all achievers because I instilled that into their hearts. I purposefully did it. Hallelujah. Now, in many cultures, children go through life trembling on the inside because fear has been instilled in them by older people. So ask the Lord. Say, Lord, did that happen to me? If you have a fear, what point in my life did it happen? Reveal it to me. God spoke to me one day. He said, I am Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He said, when you came to me, you brought me all your yesterdays, and I reached back and I healed them. He said, I am Jesus Christ today. He said, if you'll bring me your problems, I'll heal you today. He said, I'm Jesus Christ tomorrow, and I'll be with you in your tomorrows. I'll tell you something. That'll do something for you right there. That Jesus has the power, no matter what has happened in your life, to reach back into that yesterday and heal it. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. I said, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Hallelujah. See, a baby has to be taught that he is surrounded by foes. But unfortunately, many of the enemies that we have, they are imaginary, the fears, and they are emotional. Fear is an emotion. It's not a spiritual thing where you're concerned. It's a spirit from the enemy. And it affects our emotions. It'll make you sad instead of happy. Yes, it will. Amen. If you were to visit the mental institutions where the mentally handicapped are kept, in many of those instances, fear is the reason that people are there. They're afraid to get into the mainstream of life. They're afraid they cannot cope with life. They're afraid they cannot achieve. And so it drives them into doing nothing but dependency upon someone else when God created them to achieve great things. This is a powerful lesson tonight, I'm telling you. Now, if you could break the power of fear off of a person's life, then you could set them free. And the reason for that is that fear is actually a spirit. I said it earlier. Look at 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." I have power. Say it. I have love. I have a sound mind. I'm God inside minded. I'm not sin minded and sin conscious. I'm righteousness conscious. God is in me. And I can achieve great things. Hallelujah. Now, that'll make you feel 10 foot tall, won't it? Yeah. I remember when I first was asked to teach Sunday school, up out of my insides, I said, "Yes, I'll do that." And then fear tried to overcome me. Now, I'm a combat veteran, but fear tried to overcome me. I mean, I faced death. I've seen some terrible things, and I wasn't afraid to fight. I was afraid to die because at that time I wasn't born again, and I knew I'd go to the wrong place, but I'm not afraid anymore. God took all of that. Amen. But when they asked me to teach, I said, "Yeah, I'll do that." And a little voice said, "You can't do that. You can't stand before all those people. You don't know anything about the Word of God. You can't teach the Bible." And fear tried to overcome me. But God sent His Word, and God healed me. Hallelujah. You know that God can send you a word and that God can heal you of fear? That's what He did for me. Look at this. I read this, Psalm 41:10, and God set me free. He removed fear from my heart, and I cannot tell you what that has done for me. Look at this, Isaiah 41:10. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Yea, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And fear just left me. Hallelujah. I mean, He just sent me His word. Can you imagine what would have happened to me if I had listened to that negative voice that was trying to drive me alone and isolate me? And God had given me an opportunity to teach the word of God. I would never have become a preacher of the gospel if I had listened to that word. Hundreds and thousands of people have been blessed by the gospel because God took fear out of my heart when it comes to proclaiming His word. I cannot tell you how many people have been saved, or how many people have been delivered, or how many people have been filled with the Holy Ghost, or how many people have been divinely healed, or how many miracles that I've seen happen because God took fear out of my heart and instilled my heart with faith. Hallelujah. Feed your faith. Starve your doubts to death. Let them die in Jesus' name. God took it out of me years ago. I've never known it to this day. So I got a right to talk about this subject matter. Hallelujah. Fear is a deadly enemy. And the reason for that is this. You cannot have fear and faith in your heart at the same time. It's impossible. In any area of your life where you have fear, you do not have faith there. Any area of your life, any chamber of your heart, if you have fear, you do not have faith. And I'll prove it with the word of God, so don't get mad with me. Amen. Fear will paralyze your faith. And we all have to face this thing because that little voice comes and says, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. God says, do it. God says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That just helps me so much. Just take the word of God and listen to the encouraging word of the Spirit. I've had Him tell me now don't go up those stairs. The alarm went off in a church where I was, and I'm going up there. And all of a sudden God said, don't go up there. So I went back. I got me a telephone, and I called. I did it one time at our church. I called the police. They came for canine dog. The dog went up there. Followed that dog. We were building a new complex. He went out to those doors, and they found the footsteps going outside. One night I called Teresa, and I was at the old campus, and I shut up, and I hit that alarm to walk out, set the alarm, and when I did, that thing went off, and I looked, and it said, zone. It was upstairs. So I started up the steps, and God said, don't go. I didn't have any fear, but the Holy Ghost stopped me. And I went outside, and I called Teresa. I said, I'm going back in there. If I'm not home in 15 minutes, send somebody to get me. And I started up those steps again. The Holy Ghost said, don't go up there. So I turned and I went away. I had a cell phone by then. You know, these are the days of cell phone. I called 911. I said, I need somebody over here. They came over there, police officers. They said, what's going on? I told them. We went upstairs where that zone went off, come downstairs, and those double doors, they had been unlocked. That person went out those double doors. But I wasn't afraid. I don't have any fear. I have respect. But if I thought the devil was behind the door, I'd kick it down just to see if he was there. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. Hallelujah. So look at 1 John 4:18. I love this. Now, the only way you can have faith is to get fear out, okay? There is no fear in love. You see that? Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. I want you to say that with me. There is no fear in love. Now, I want you to say it a little stronger this time. There is no fear in love. Now, how many of you believe that? If you have fear in any area of your life, you are outside of love in that area of your life. That chamber needs to be repaired. Amen. Who would ever have thought that the medicine for fear is love? This is medicine to all our flesh right here, to your emotions, to your peace. God's word is so powerful. Hallelujah. Look at that. 1 John 4:8. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Now, the Bible says that God is love. So when you have the fullness of God in every area of your life, how can you be afraid? Okay? And in so many areas of our life where there is fear, God is not there. And you have to know that. Fear is there. It's a work of the devil. It's a spirit. It's not from God. But God is love, and there is no fear in love. And perfect love, the fullness of God's love, absolute love, the Bible says it casteth out fear. Hallelujah. Now, that word cast is not a passive word. Now, Jesus said, from the days of John Baptist until the day the kingdom of God suffered violence. And some people just want to sit back and let the devil railroad them. No. Perfect love casteth out fear. There is no fear in love. And you got to know that's not a passive thing. See, when you want to do something to get rid of it, you throw it out the window or you kick the door. I've literally done this, gone to the door, opened the door and said, get out of here, devil. Just kick him right on out of the house. He doesn't belong in my house. God gave me that home. God gave you your home. God gave you that place. The devil doesn't belong there. It's yours. Take authority in Jesus' name. Somebody praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. See, fear does not just walk out the door. It has to be thrown out. It has to be cast out. And perfect love will throw it out. It'll cast fear out every time. Perfect love does not deal politely with fear. It throws it out. Amen. Cast it out. Get out of here. In Jesus' name. I tell you what, the devil hit the trail running when you say that. Why? Why do you want to get rid of this thing? Because fear has torment. It scatters your brain. It ruins your emotions. It takes away your willpower to achieve, because fear has torment. Do you know anybody that is tormented by fear? I meet them every day. Yet if they would come to church and find out what belongs to them as a child of God, they could get rid of it. The answer's in the Word of God. His Word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. That Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I've hid it there also so I'll know the things that belong to me as a child of God. You can never have revelation beyond what you know about the Word. Now, you can get some things through gifts, and somebody else can pray for you. But if you want to walk in it, you better have some word. The word will bring you out when nothing else will. Amen. 1 John 4:18. See, he that fears not made perfect in love. Now, I'm reading from the Bible. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. God said that. I'm just bringing a message. So if you have this thing in any area of your life, we'll deal with it and help you, or go home and deal with it. Take that verse of scripture, write it down. Get this CD, go out on YouTube and pull it up and find out. Hey, that doesn't belong to me. I have perfect love in me. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. I will reign in life as kings and priests unto God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Got to bring it together now. Let me look at some points. Point number one, some of the fears that modern science lists, okay? These are some big words. I copied some of these down years ago, and some of them are so foolish. Agoraphobia is the fear of pain. I didn't know if he would get to write all those down, but it's spelled A-L-G-O-P-H-O-B-I-A. It's a phobia. It's a fear of pain. Some people just start trembling all over when they feel the pain. I went to get my teeth cleaned today. Amen. Got to check up at the doctor. Hallelujah. Everything's good according to him. Amen. Got a great report. And he said, hey, man, said, you look like you've lost some weight. I said, I have. He said, you've been trying. I said, I sure have. I'm working on it. I got one body. Hey, it's the temple of the Holy Ghost, doc. Amen. Take care of it. But this lady, she said, how do you feel when your heart is bothering you? I said, how did you feel? She knew I'd had an operation. I said, well, my chest started burning like fire. I said, the doctor missed it for 10 years. I said, but they tried to put me on Zoloft. They tried to tell me I was depressed. I told them, I said, I'm not depressed. I'm happy. And I told my wife after four visits, and they told me that. I said, if I go back to that doctor and he tells me one more time, you know, you're depressed. I said, I'm going to preach Jesus like he's never heard Jesus preached in his life. I was so disappointed when I went back. He didn't say that. I told him when I came home. Amen. But listen to this one. Acrophobia, which is the fear of heights. Acrophobia, getting high. I can't go up there. I'm afraid. I've seen people when go across the grandfather's bridge. I said, come on, we're going. Hallelujah. I tell you, if you go with me, you're going to get over some of these things. I promise, because I intend to go. But the reason I won't have that is because I'm not going to be afraid when perfect love casts out all fear. That one verse will change your life forever. Here's one. Aerophobia, which is the fear of flying. Some people can't get into an airplane, and they cannot take a trip because they're afraid. Get over it. Yeah. Dr. Lester Sumrall, he was on the mission field over in Tibet, flew into a village there in the jungle, and the plane crashed. And they all got out of it, and the plane's a little piece of metal lying there. And his interpreter, he preached to him, and he said, I'll never get on a plane again as long as I live. Dr. Sumrall said, yes, you will too. He preached his sermon. He said, we're going to that village on the other side of these jungles. He said, I'm not getting in an airplane. I'll never get in an airplane again as long as I live. Dr. Sumrall said, you're the best interpreter I have. I got to go over there and preach the gospel. He said, you get in that airplane one way or the other. I like Dr. Les. He's a man with spine. I mean, we need some people like him. He's in heaven today. He said, he looked in that man's eyes. He said, you can get on that plane. You can walk on there. You see this fist of mine? This is the preacher talking now. He said, you can get on that plane. I'll hit you right there in the middle of your stomach and bend you over. I'll put you over my shoulders and I'll throw you on that plane. Now take your choice. How do you want to get on that plane? The man walked on the plane. Went over there and preached his sermon. And he told Dr. Sumrall later, he said, you've done me one of the greatest services in life. He said, I would never have gotten on another airplane. He said, I don't have any fear of it anymore. He said, thank you for what you've done in my life. Give God a clap offering of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. God will send a preacher that's going to hit you in the stomach if that's what it takes to get fear out. Hallelujah. Then there's, listen to this one, pharmacophobia, which is the fear of medicine. I've known people who were afraid to take blood pressure pills. Pharmacophobia. Afraid to go get medicines. Some people are afraid of doctors. I can tell you this. You know, they can misdiagnose, but every good and perfect gift comes from God, our Father. The devil never made a hospital. He never invented any medicine. He never trained the first doctor or the first nurse. They're all gifts from God. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and fear will destroy you. You got to get over this thing. Here's one, carcinophobia, fear of cancer. People shake and tremble inside because they're afraid that they're going to die of cancer. I remember a lady that had cancer in her body at the church we used to go to, and she said, everyone in my family has died of cancer, and I'm afraid I'm going to die of cancer. She had a spot right there on her face. She said, will you pray for me, Brother Nelson? I said, I will. I prayed for her. I called her the next day. I said, she was going to the doctor on Thursday. I said, has that cancer dropped off your face yet? She said, no, I'm going to the doctor on Thursday. I called her Tuesday. I said, has that cancer dropped off your face yet? I cursed it in Jesus' name. She said, no, I'm going to the doctor Thursday. And I told Teresa, I said, I'm not going to call her on Wednesday. I said, I'm not going to call her. I said, I want you to agree with me in prayer. I said, God wants to heal that, and I know, heal her, and I know it in my spirit. And so next time I saw her, she went to the doctor, and the doctor looked at it. He took a set of tweezers. He reached up there, pulled that thing out, and there was baby skin up under there. God healed her of cancer. Go on, praise God. Years later, cancer came on her leg. She said, everybody in my family is going to die with cancer. I said, not you. The word of prophecy came over me. I said, you will die of old age. You will not die of cancer. And because somebody prophesied with the authority of God upon them, that woman was healed. She died of old age. Hallelujah. Great woman of faith. God is a great God. Amen. But you know, God healed her both times. I have prayed the same prayer for many people. And I've seen some people healed. And I've seen people die. Faith cannot exist where there is fear. And so in a case like that, you better have the gifts of the Spirit operating to help that person. You've got to use your faith. If you use your faith, you can do great things. Because God gave you that faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. It is the gift of God. God gave you the faith. Add to it. God has dealt to every man among you the measure of faith. Sinners don't have what you have. They don't have this God-like faith. God has dealt to every man among you the measure of faith. He said not to think more highly of yourself than you ought, but to think soberly and to think righteously. God is a good God, and you're his child. Why wouldn't he heal you? Hallelujah. Here's one right here. Claustrophobia, fear of confinement or close places. Now, science has identified these things, you know. Now, if I had claustrophobia, I would get into a closed-in place. I would close my eyes. I would center my attention on Jesus. And I would say it over and over and over again, if I had to say it 1,000 times. Perfect love cast out all fear, and I command fear to go. In Jesus' name. I mean, I am who he said I am. I have what he said I have. I can do what he said I can do. I can do all things through Christ. And God watches over his word to perform it. And he said, I'm not to have fear. All right. Hope this is helping you. Hydrophobia, the fear of water. Here's one. Gametophobia, the fear of marriage. Now, can you imagine not being able to have a home and a family and a marriage because of fear? Yet thousands of people in our society, they live there because they've had marriage failures. They've had divorces, and they're afraid to ever try life again. Can you imagine being driven over into a dark place of isolation, and you go to work and you come home and you just sit there and you do nothing. You have no contact with the world. The devil is an isolationist. He wants to drive you like that. You have to purpose. I will get up. I will do something. He tried to drive me there when I came home from Vietnam. I wasn't afraid. I just didn't want to be around people. I'd seen so much. I'd stay out all night and sleep all day. Stay out all night and sleep all day. Got down about 135 pounds. My mother looked at me one day. She said, son, you're killing yourself. She said, you got to change. Well, mother read my mail all the time when I was a little teenager. She said, the Holy Ghost showed me this, and the Holy Ghost showed me this about you, and the Holy Ghost showed me this. I said, yes, ma'am, mother. So I went out. My daddy said, son, are you ever going to get a job? I said, I don't know. I've got money. How much you want me to pay you, daddy? If you'll just let me pay you. I don't know what I'm going to do. You see, that war trauma had driven me to that place. I'd go out around people, though, do my thing, and then go back and sleep all day. But see, the devil's trying to keep me out of the mainstream of life. He wanted to rob me of the potential that was inside of me. And he wants to rob people. He's a robber. So don't let him stop you from doing anything. Amen. Here's one that, panophobia, the fear of everything. That covers it all. Panophobia. There are just a few examples of fear. There are hundreds of them. And the devil's got one or two of them just for you. Because there's one of his strongest instruments in destroying your relationship with God and the peace of God that you have. The Bible says that you have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. The Bible says the kingdom of God is within you. What is the kingdom? It is righteousness. It is peace. It is joy in the Holy Ghost. It's inside of you. God said, I'm going to put my kingdom inside of you. I want you to be a kingdom-minded kid because I watch over my word and I'll take care of you. Hallelujah. See, the devil wants to destroy your happiness, and he will do everything he can to keep you from accomplishing your goals in life. Number two, Christians should never be fearful. Let me say that again. Christians should never. No Christian should be fearful. That's all right. Christians should never be fearful. No one who has ever been born again should be fearful of anything. There is no fear in love. There's nowhere in the Bible that we are taught to be afraid of anything. When the Bible says we're to fear God, it means we are to respect and we are to reverence God. Doesn't mean we're to fear. God is not a mean God with a stick waiting for you to mess up so he can beat you all to pieces and kick you out of the kingdom. No, he loves you. You're his child. He's a good God. God is for you. He sent his son to the cross. He said, I'll take care of you. Come to me. Talk to me. Walk with me. Obey me. He desires to fellowship with us. The devil wants to drive you away from the church. He wants to drive you away from Christians. He wants to drive you away from achievement. He does not want you to come and read your Bible and to pray and to get on a good Bible study. He wants to isolate you. Amen. So we reverence God. We're not afraid of our Father. I'm not afraid of the devil either. Amen. Anybody in here afraid of the devil? If you are, then you need to let me cast that thing out of you before we leave. When the Bible says we are to fear God, it means we're to respect him. Now, transgression and fear and sin, they can cause fear because they're of the devil. When you sin and when you transgress God's law, fear will move in on you. I promise you that. And you do not have the power to cast it out. Not if you're going to live in sin. No, no, no. 1,000 no's. And sin is one of the tools the devil uses to cause fear. Now let me give you some scripture. James 4:7. The Bible says, quit sinning. Submit yourself therefore to God. If you submit yourself to God, There's no area in your life that sin will master you. None. It will not have dominion over you. Impossible. The Bible says sin shall not have dominion over you. You have dominion over it. God has given us power over sin. He has taken out that old sin nature and put in his divine nature. Hallelujah. James 4:7, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So if you don't submit to God's ordinance and God's commandments, how can you expect for the devil to flee from you? He'll laugh at you. He will laugh at you. He'll laugh in your face. And you got to know that. He knows you don't have the authority to use the name of Jesus if you're practicing sin. He knows. And then God said, if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask of him, we receive it. Why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Somebody go and praise God. That's how you get things from God. You submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. That word flee, it means to run in holy terror. And if you'll submit yourself to God and then resist the devil, he will flee from you. And he'll do it in holy terror. Submit yourself to God means you live right. You obey God. You live according to his word, to the best of your ability. And if you make a mistake, my little children, I write to you that you sin not. If any man sin, you have an advocate with the Father. We confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means God says, if you fail, then I'll cleanse you. I'll restore you to the position of righteousness. And you can just go right on. And once God forgives you something, once you ask God to forgive you, don't let the devil browbeat you. Say, God forgave me. It's under the blood. Don't do despite to the Spirit of grace. Said, I asked for forgiveness. God forgave me. Hallelujah. I'm forgiven. And I'm going on because God's word says, if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me. Doesn't matter how you feel. Just matters what you believe. And if you believe it, you can have it. Hallelujah. Am I preaching all right? Amen. Amen. No Christian should ever stand in fear and be afraid. We shouldn't be afraid to live and we shouldn't be afraid to die. We shouldn't be afraid of the dark. We shouldn't be afraid of the light. Because God's people are not fearful people. We're faithful people. We're not full of fear. We're full of faith. Hallelujah. Now, the devil's people, they're the ones full of fear. They need our help. Amen. You say, well, I'm a child of God and I'm afraid. Well, that's why God brought you here. God wants you to hear this. Amen. He wants to get that thing out of you. He wants to heal you so you can be what he purposed for you to be. And that's why we study the word. Amen. Point number three, what is the origin of fear? Now, if you're going to understand the origin of something, if you don't understand the origin of something, you can never understand it anyway. You got to know where it came from. The first record we have of fear is found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. Adam is speaking. God had asked him a question. Adam had sinned. He said, Adam, where are you? God knew where he was. God wasn't asking because God didn't know. God just wanted Adam to know. Okay? Genesis 3 and 10. And he said, Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself. He had sinned. He transgressed God's law. And fear entered his heart. And from that moment to this moment, it has tried to enter everyone's heart down through the age, just like sin. The first recorded fear is found in the first pages of the Bible. And every bit of it happened because of transgression. Submit yourself to God. Obey God. Do what God said. Then resist the devil. I promise you that devil will flee. He'll run in holy terror. I told you about T.L. Osborne. He said, I was afraid of the devil till I found out the devil was afraid of me. Hallelujah. Woo, say it. I was afraid of the devil till I found out the devil's afraid of me. Say it again. I was afraid of the devil till I found out the devil's afraid of me. Doesn't that make you feel good? Woo, that'll drive fear out right there. Hallelujah. That means that the history of fear is related to transgression or sin. The whole history of fear is related to sin and transgression. Therefore, fear should not touch the Christian's life because the Christian has been made free from sin. Sin has no dominion. Therefore, fear should never, 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 never have any dominion over you because perfect love casteth out all fear. Cast that thing out. Use your willpower. Sin has been broken. Its power has been destroyed off of your life because you're a Christian by the blood of Jesus Christ. Fear and transgressions, they are sisters. Amen. But the Christians live by faith. We have no relationship with fear. We have no relationship with transgressions either. We want to serve God and please God. That's our objective. Now, that's why our text is such a powerful, powerful text. I want you to pull up 2 Peter 2 and 4. It's not in the notes there. But I want to show you why you have power. 2 Peter 2 and 4 says, "Wherefore give unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust." You need to know that you're not like other people that are not saved. You have a new nature inside of you. You have God's very nature. You are the temple of the living God. God said, "I will walk in you. I will dwell in you." So don't give your body over to cigarettes. Oh, how'd I get over there? Don't give your body over to nicotine and alcohol and drugs and stuff like that. Give your body to Jesus. Commit your body to him, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto him. Get out of that fornication business. Quit committing adultery. Quit doing things like that. Serve God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, and strength. If you can't control your passion, find you a mate, praise God, and get married. Fix that thing up with God. I tell you, I'm preaching good now. Hallelujah. We live in a world, thank you, Sophie. Little five-year-old there clapping her hands. She understands what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. You think those five-year-olds don't know? Oh, come on, let's get real. Look at the culture we live in today. They need our help. They need our love. They need our protection. They need instruction in righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. There is no fear in love. 1 John 4:18. Look at that. It's powerful. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out all fear. Say all. All fear. He that feareth, fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So if I thought the devil's behind the door, I'd kick it down. I promise you I would. I just want to see if he's there. Hallelujah. I told you, you can line him up. Say, "Come here, devil. Line up right there. Get all your demons from hell. Line them up behind you." I want to tell you what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you authority, power, to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. I know you're a spirit. I can't see what you're doing, but I tell you what, I got the word of God. I got the Holy Ghost. I'm not afraid of spirits. I got one in me. It's called the Holy Spirit." Hallelujah. And I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus. He always causes me to triumph, and I'm coming against you. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts all fear. Last point. How do you get victory over fear? Brother Blue, pull up Psalms 56 and 3. I love this, Psalms 56 and 3. David said, "What time I'm afraid, then will I trust in God." Now, here's a warrior on a battlefield, and fear's trying to grip his heart. He said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." I've heard people say, well, fear and faith can't exist at the same time. They can't. So you got to cast it out. See, this thing, even back in the Old Testament, tried to come against David. David was a man after God's own heart. He said, "What time I'm afraid?" He said, I'm going to trust in you, Lord. See, David overcame his fear by putting his trust in God. And you can do it too. 2 Timothy 1, 7. It is. This is revelation right here. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. You've heard me say in the English language, it's called an inference. It is not stated the way I'm fixing to do it. It is inferred. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. And so with those three spirits from God, a spirit of love, a spirit of power, and a spirit of sound mind, we have supernatural strength that comes from God. Now think about that. God has not given us the spirit of fear. So Sophia is a spirit. It's just one spirit. But if you understand the structure of language, that's what I'm trying to help you with. I picked up a few things in my English class when I wasn't listening. But God has given us, one, a spirit of love, two, a spirit of power, three, a spirit of a sound mind. Sounds like the Trinity to me, doesn't you? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, because perfect love casts out all fear, and God is love. We have the spirit of power. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So when we walk in a room, we should transform the whole room. Why is that? Because you have a spirit of power and a spirit of love inside of you. And we have a spirit of a sound mind, so we have the spirit of Christ. Where we can accomplish great things for God, you can do more than people at work with you if you turn God loose. You can achieve more. People told me, you can't. I said, I can do all things through Christ. I just speak faith. God gave me ideas, million-dollar ideas. They would scare me sometimes when I would see them. It's like that one night I was sitting in a meeting, $120 million contract on the line there. And I saw a bright light go on. And looked like that forward, I got a better idea. And it frightened me. And I called the chief engineer. I said, I want you to go outside with me a minute. I said, I can take $1 million out of this contract right now. I said, God just showed me. I said, that one company, I said, they can manage it. They can do the drawings. They can do the construction management. They own a construction firm. I said, and I'm going to offer them $25 for every $100 they save. I said, I can take $1 million there. And I said, they're not going to say yes to it. They're going to say we want half. And I'm going to tell them I'm not going to do that. You know, I have a penny invested in this. And I went back in that meeting, and they said exactly what I said. God showed me. You can get a word from God. It's called the word of knowledge. God will teach you. God will show you. God will help you if you will include him. You can be just as anointed out there in the business world. God can give you a business, and that business will grow and grow and grow and grow. I started one. They said, you will never make money until 3 years. I made money the first month. Made money every month. Sold it and made money. God will give you ideas. God is supernatural. Turn him loose in your life. You'll find out what God can do. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ever ask or think according to the power working in you. Just one word from God. Hallelujah. Fear is a spirit, and you have to know that. Pull our text up, Brother Blue. Matthew 7, 24. Jesus said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, the floods came, the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, but was founded upon the rock. Pastor Ricky. Father, I pray that you will take these words, set the captive free. Lord, people that are watching by Facebook Live and live stream, people that are under the sound of my voice, people that will hear this in the future, God, I pray that you will take these words that you've given to me, oh God, that you will take this lesson, apply it to their hearts. Let them rise up, achieve their full potential in life, because we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. Let us stand. Hallelujah.
Learning to live.
Perfect love cast that all fear. Fear has torment. If you have it, tell the Lord, take it. If you need help, come down. We'll pray for you.
Learning to live.
God's people are people of faith.
I'm learning.
People of power.
On Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
Oh, we're learning.
I praise you, Master. Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. You know, maybe you need some of you.